This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. We do appreciate those of you who take the time to write and who pray for this ministry. If you contact me by mail, you can have a copy of this program on a CD. We also will take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there as well as re-listen to this program there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. So you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. In addition, if you would like to be placed on the free mailing list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, again, send me your name and address and I'll send it on to them. Now, this morning we want to continue reading from Acts chapter 14. I'm going to overlap a little from where we left off last time. I'm going to read from verse 19. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, that's where he was stoned, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church, and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. And when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples, and we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, as we look at this is Paul's first missionary journey, and I just thought it might be well at this point to review some of the highlights that we've looked at in chapters 13 and chapter 14. You'll remember that in chapter 13, the leaders of the church seemed to understand that Paul had been called to this great work, and they had identified with Paul and with Barnabas and John Mark, and they had sent them out to preach the gospel. They had commended them to the grace of God. They had not hired them to do this work. They had seen that the Lord had called them to do this work, and so they had fellowship with them in the sense that they themselves stood behind them, and if Paul or Barnabas had had reason to have somebody question whether they were qualified to do the work, they could have contacted their home assembly, and they would have found out that the home assembly was in full fellowship with what Barnabas and Paul were doing. And of course, at the very end of this passage, we see that accountability again, because Paul and Barnabas come back to that home assembly and report on the work that had taken place in the journey that they had taken. You'll notice that those who commended them did not tell them where to go. The Holy Spirit guided Paul and Barnabas. John Mark returned from the work that they were doing and went back home. But with regard to Paul and Barnabas, the Holy Spirit guided them in their work, and where they should go, they were not guided by people back home who set out an itinerary and told them what to do. In other words, Paul and Barnabas served the Lord in fellowship with the Christians that understood that the Lord had called them to this work. Now, when we come to Acts 13 and 10, one of the highlights of this journey was that there was a magician on the Isle of Patmos who resisted Paul and Barnabas, and he was trying to deceive those people on that isle with his sorcery. And Paul realized what he was doing, and in Acts 13 and verse 10, he says, "Oh," speaking to this sorcerer or this magician, he says, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, you will not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord. And of course, it wasn't well accepted by the magician, but as a result of this, the governor that the magician was associated with, the intelligent man, I think is the way it was put, he came to know the Lord. Now, then in Acts 13 and 13, John Mark leaves. We don't really know why he leaves, but we know that this was a problem to Paul later on. He felt that John Mark had deserted them. He was not a man that could be depended upon. And so when they go on their second missionary journey, we'll find out that John Mark becomes an issue between Barnabas and Paul, and they end up separating over this man. And I've often thought that I would not want to be John Mark and have it on my record that because of me, two men who were obviously godly men, two men who obviously were being used of the Lord, were divided over the work as a result of something that I had done. But if we follow the story through in 2 Timothy, I believe it's 2 Timothy, I might be wrong on that, it's quite clear that Paul has been reconciled to John Mark and considers him profitable for the ministry. And so the apparent rift between him and John Mark, at least, was taken care of. It is interesting, we read very little about Barnabas after the rift between the two of them takes place, but we do read about the work of Paul. And it may very well be that God used something that we are not too proud of, dissension between brethren over perhaps a mistake that a brother had made. He uses that to send people in different directions, and just as he used persecution to spread the gospel, it looks to me like he may very well have used this particular incident to his glory to spread the gospel, though the incident itself is not a glorifying incident, an incident that really glorifies God. So John Mark leaves, and that has consequences. And then in Antioch and Pisidia, the Gentiles respond, but the Jews resist the gospel. And so it seems to be that as they leave Antioch in Syria, end up in Turkey in the other Antioch, the Antioch of Pisidia, that seems to be the base station for the work in that area now, out into Turkey, and subsequently the work that goes on over in Greece. And it's here that it seems like the Gentile base of the church seems to be established. So this becomes a very important work in Antioch of Pisidia. You will know that after the Jews resist the work there, Paul ends up going down to these cities in Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. And it's in Lystra that Paul is able to heal an impotent man, a lame man. And at first the people in Lystra want to make Paul and Barnabas the human representatives of their pagan gods. But Paul and Barnabas, of course, will not allow them to do that. And then the people from Iconium and the Jews who have been resisting Paul's work come to Lystra, the place where first they want to deify Paul, and they convince those people that Paul should be stoned. And it's just, we looked at this incident last time, and it just seems so astounding to me that people can have their minds changed so easily. And it proves to me that it is true that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. So it's clear in my mind that we cannot follow a public popular opinion if we are going to know the will of the Lord. There's a truism in Scripture, and that truism is that the multitude is generally wrong. And so we can see that the multitude had a mind of its own. Its mind was changed. And those who, just as those who were going to make the Lord king on Palm Sunday were likely in the crowd that cried, "Away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us on Good Friday." Now here we have people who want to deify Paul because of the miracle that he did, but after these people from Iconium come down, they are persuaded that he ought to be stoned. It's such a changeable thing when we look at the heart of man and we look at the way crowds respond, the public responds to the truth of the gospel. And so that was one of the highlights of the story on their third missionary journey. And then we find that they continue to preach the gospel in that area. They make many disciples in Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium, and they return then to Antioch in Syria to give an account of the work that has developed among non-Jews or Gentiles. And so we can see that this was a very productive work that they were doing, but it was a very difficult work that they were doing. And so when we come down to verses 21 and 22, we find out that the gospel does save, but following the Lord will not be easy. So they strengthened the disciples when they came back into these cities the second time. They strengthened the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Now, I think there's a tendency sometimes to wonder if we have made a mistake when we trust in the Lord and commit our lives to Him, because there is persecution associated with that. Now, these people were exhorted to continue in the faith, to continue walking in the truth that they had been taught. They weren't exhorted to continue believing. I don't think once we have seen that Christ died for sins, we can ever be convinced that He didn't. But on the other hand, it's easy for us to be convinced that being a good Christian is not... we can be easily convinced that being a good Christian is too much trouble and not worthwhile. And some people hide their Christianity, and some people go back into the world, and in this case they probably would have gone back into the Jewish religion just so they would not be persecuted. I think that nugget of truth that they had believed would never be lost, but their testimonies would be lost, and so they were, and their fellowship with God would be lost, and so they were exhorted to continue in the faith. And Paul is an example of that, because here he's been stoned and yet he stays in the area trying to help those disciples that have trusted in the Lord. And he says, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. We don't often preach that side of the gospel, do we? We often tell people that when they are saved, their problems are over. But that's not really true. We aren't persecuted today like they were persecuted then, but there is still persecution when it comes to the gospel. The Lord was crucified, and Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Dear friend, today the gospel is worth believing. Knowing Christ is your Savior is the peace that comes with knowing Christ is your Savior is worth having. And I hope that you have come to understand that as a sinner, you need the Savior just as these Gentiles in this area did. And I hope you have your confidence in Him for eternity. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy blessing upon our program today and upon our listeners. We thank Thee for Thy love. We commit ourselves into Thy care in our Savior's name. Our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.